In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. There's one very important balance that we need to keep. It's a balance that, whether it's culturally or socially, or sometimes when we're reading our Bibles or praying, becomes a little bit skewed in our minds. And that's the balance between love and fear of God. Because you get concepts that God is love, and then you are told to fear God. And it's quite confusing, because you don't really love and fear the same entity. When we're addressing the topics of love and fear, we need to look at them very, very carefully, so that we're not confusing ourselves in the way we deal with things. If we look at the first book of Samuel, Chapter 8, verse 9. He says, "Now therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of a king who will reign over them." That's the love of God. He shows us the behavior of a king who reigns over us. And he's a faithful king. He's a loving king. He's a king who is always there. He's a king who not only created us, but also saves us. We can look at God as being the God who creates. We can look at God as being the God who judges. And we can look at God as being the God who saves and who loves and who forgives. And there's no difference between those three. They're all the same. God is God. He's not like us. You know, we sometimes think because we've got a bad day, so we will look absolutely miserable in the morning, and anyone who comes in our path, heaven help them. You know, if they say the wrong thing or just look the wrong way. I was driving through London yesterday and going down the main road, and a guy cut across me and almost hit me and then got out of his car to fight with me for stopping and not hitting him. I'm not quite sure how that made sense in his mind. But you could see that there was no rationale to it. There was no sense. There's no logic. And we sometimes feel like that. When we're so infuriated, we are feared. Not loved, feared. So how can you possibly fear God and love Him at the same time? Now, what's the dictionary definition of fear? It is an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. It is an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. So therefore, I mean, surely, divine scripture, as divinely inspired, cannot be telling us to love unpleasantness. God cannot want us to love the source of danger, pain, or harm. What kind of God and what kind of Father? So, fear within this context is very different. God knows us, and God wants to be known by us. So He exposes Himself. He shows Himself. He presents Himself to us and says, "Here I am. Come, follow me." He said to his disciples, "He who desires to be my disciple, you need to sell all you have, you need to leave everything, you need to follow me. And if you come to me, I will never reject you. If you come to me and you are burdened and troubled and laboring, I'll give you rest. If you come to me and you have all the troubles in the world, I'll be your comfort." And so He makes Himself better known to us So we cannot perceive him as a source of pain or danger or harm. I'm often quite saddened when I see some people who have a superstitious approach to faith. Because superstition is, a lot of it is based on fear. You know, you throw salt over your shoulder, or you spray water on your doorstep, or you, you know, stroke a cat 3 times. I don't know what you do. You do that so that danger doesn't befall you, because you're afraid of it. Superstition becomes an act that is not grounded in faith, but that is grounded in fear, and that is grounded in insecurity, and is not based on a knowledge of God at all. So, if you look at Proverbs 19:23, we read, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. So, if you have the fear of the Lord, it leads to life, and if you have it, you abide in satisfaction, and you will not be visited by evil. Here, the word fear in Hebrew is yirat. And that actually is exactly the same translation as awe or reverence. So, whenever you hear the words fear the Lord, it means be in awe of him. Treat him with reverence. Don't fear him like you fear the dark when you're a child. Don't fear him like you fear an enemy. But be in awe. You know, when you're a child and your father, who is, you know, biggest thing in your life, or your mother, who is your greatest inspiration, or your big brother or big sister, who are the coolest people on earth, you have that desire not to upset them. Because you're in awe of them. You don't fear them, you're in awe of them. And that awe or reverence is defined as wonder, amazement, mystery, astonishment, gratitude, admiration, worship, all of those things. All of those things come into awe. Some of you will notice that when I'm reading the gospel, and traditionally we'll say, stand in the fear of God and listen to the holy gospel. I intentionally say now, stand in awe of God. Stand in awe of the word of God. Stand with wonder and amazement at the mystery, with gratitude and admiration for the message that had been given to us. That's the awe we're talking about. That's what we're trying to do. It's awe because it is such an incredible thing. You know, when you look at the gospel and how we read it in our church, and by the way, if you guys ever complain about how it's done in the Coptic Orthodox Church and that it takes a long time, please go visit your local Ethiopian Orthodox Church. I remember we have our Oriental services, and we get each church to pray a certain part. An Ethiopian service, their gospel reading, probably took about 20, 25 minutes in terms of, and what was that indication of? I mean, people don't do things liturgically just because they want to waste time. What were they doing? It was a procession for the gospel. It was a litany of the gospel. It was prayer for the gospel. It was standing in front of the gospel. It was reverence to the gospel. We do that. We have a litany for the gospel. Then we stand and we pray it and we say, stand in awe of God. Stand in reverence. Stand and listen. Be attentive. Let us be worthy to hear and act according to your holy gospel. All of that. Why? Because otherwise, we just stand there and listen to it like a story. Or worse still, we stand and fall asleep like we're listening to Abuna's sermon. But we prepare ourselves. We're not fearful of the words that are coming out. We don't fear them. We're in awe of them. So when we look at God, we need to be in awe of Him. That's why it's a little bit dangerous sometimes when we break God down so much. God took flesh to be human and to be like us and to bring Himself closer to us. And that's absolutely true. But we don't then grab Him and dismantle this holiness and dismantle this majesty and becomes Jesus my mate. Because you're not in awe of most of your friends. You're familiar with them, you love them, you deal with them. That's great. That familiarity is wonderful. But to be in awe of God means to understand who He is. To understand who He is in our lives. Because otherwise, we underestimate Him. We undervalue Him. To us, it just becomes another relationship. And usually a relationship we don't put much care into. Just another relationship. Just something that happens. When you look at Adam and Eve, and when they ran and they hid, they didn't run because of their fear of God. They ran because of the acknowledgement of their own iniquity. They felt their nakedness. They felt their sin. I mean, nothing really happened in terms of how much they were covered before and after the serpent, except that their understanding that they had sinned. And we sometimes confuse our fear of God with our understanding that we have erred, we have sinned. You know, when you're a little child and you do something wrong and you hide because you don't want one of your parents to see you because you've done something. What is the fear generated by? Is it because your parent is a horrible parent and therefore he or she will beat you? Mostly not. It's not that. It's the fact that I know I've made a mistake, and I know I am deserving of punishment. And so I fear my parent as someone who will punish me. I fear God as someone who will punish me. But in the same way, our relationship with God is that He is the one who forgives. He's the gracious one. So, what happened with Adam and Eve when they ran? When they ran, they hid. What did God do? He gave them garments to hide their nakedness. He covered their sin and their iniquity. Was there judgment? Yes, there was judgment. But at the same time, He made a point of covering their iniquity. So when we generally fear God, it's because we're doing the wrong thing, and we're fearing His reaction. But be assured that His reaction will always be based on grace and love. He wants us to approach Him as those who are sinful, not just those who are righteous. He has His kingdom full of righteous angels. He wants us to approach Him as human beings who have sinned, coming to Him and saying, Father, I have sinned against You. I don't mind if You treat me as one of Your hired workers, as long as I am in Your home. And what does He do? He says, no, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my child. You made a mistake, yes, I know. But I don't want to condemn you, your actions condemn you. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that I have not come to judge the world. The words that we know are going to judge us. Because he's given us the truth. He's given us the teaching, the understanding. Deuteronomy 11 reads, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. And it shall be that you, if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve with all your heart and with all your soul. That's the commandment. Love the Lord your God. Keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments. How many of those do we keep? How much do we do? Our relationship with God is, he's an ATM, right? We go, we put in our PIN, put in our membership card. Lord, remember, I'm your son. Membership card goes in. I'm praying. PIN goes in. What do you want? I want this and this and this and this and this. That's my relationship with him. I go to him when I need something. You know, it wouldn't be so bad if I also occasionally went to him when I just wanted him. We'll always need something from God. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us needing something from our Father. There's nothing wrong with us feeling like we are in need. Because we're humans. We're limited. Limited in resources, limited in lots of things. But for us to only go to him in need is destructive. It's destructive for us and destructive for the relationship. Because what happens is that it builds in me a sense of guilt. And you and I know it. You know, ask people, why don't you pray? They say, I can't pray. I just pray when I want something from God. It's okay, it doesn't mind. Just balance it up a little bit with when you don't necessarily want anything except him. When you just want to share some time with him. Share an emotion with him. Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I'm happy. Lord, I want to achieve this in my life. Lord, and this is the best one, I thank you for making me who I am. So many of us reject who we are. We don't like who we are. And that's such a shame. That's so awful. But God doesn't want us to feel like that. God doesn't want us to feel like, he doesn't want us to feel like we're less than anything or anyone else. He wants us to feel loved and valued. He wants us to feel like we are actually his children and he will always be there for us. He doesn't want us to feel like we're indebted to him as strangers. We're in his debt as his children. But he says this, that we should do this, his charge, statutes, judgments, and commandments, always. What does always mean? Always also means not only when you don't need me. God doesn't say, no, don't come to me if you want something. He says, come to me always, whether you need something or not. The not is because you want me. But even if you come to me because you need something, that's fine. See, we always read the always in a different way. Read the always like you must always be with God. But always here is different. Always here means even if you want something, come. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm your Father. I'm your God. I'm your provider. I want to give you things. I created you to sustain you. I know you can't go through this life on your own. And so when we have that relationship with that God, how could we fear Him? The book of Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. This is how much God loves us. He'll rejoice over us. Any screams we have, He will quieten them with His love. You know, you get the imagery of a young child who's being put to sleep, and they're in their cot or in their bed and not feeling very well, and they cry. I was baptizing 2 weeks ago, and I felt so bad. I've never seen a child cry so much. This young boy was obviously in a lot of pain. And the parents were, you know, we've got to baptize him. And I just said, okay, listen, just pick him up. And the minute his mother picked him up and put him close to her, he stopped crying. She didn't put a dummy in his mouth. She didn't sort of try to shake him. She didn't try to quieten him in any way. She didn't become angry. Just by picking him up and bringing him close, she quietened him with her love. That's what God does with us. He quietens us with His love. And it's such an important thing. It's such an important thing because He's all we have. He is really the only support we have. You see, As a support, God can get us through anything. Do we go to Him? Do we revert to Him? Do we depend on Him? Not always. But can He get us through anything? Absolutely. We spend so much time being afraid of Him, however, that we don't go. We don't go to Him because, how is He going to accept me? I've sinned, I've made mistakes. You'll speak to people and say, how's your relationship with God? You say, I can't even stand in front of Him. I'm so sinful, I feel so bad. But you know what? He says to us to go to Him in that state. Of course He wants to rejoice with us when we're happy. But our God is not a selfish God. He's not a shallow God. He's not an irresponsible God. You know, an irresponsible parent is a parent who only wants you when you're happy and pushes away when you're not. It's an irresponsible parent because a parent has a responsibility. Our God is not an irresponsible father. He's a loving father. And He says, come to me especially when there's something wrong. Because I will quieten you with my love. And once you're quiet, I will rejoice over you. I will support you and I'll be with you. Hosea 9:1 says, do not rejoice, O Israel, with joy like other peoples. For you have played the harlot against your God. You have made love for hire on every threshing floor. It's really rough imagery. But it basically says, don't go out and just be happy like the world because you've betrayed God. And you shouldn't be betraying God. Look at the joy that really makes sense. You say, but hang on, you started speaking about fear, and now you're speaking about love and joy. Yes. Connection comes in Psalm 70, verse 4. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, Lord God, be magnified. Let those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. So where does our joy come from? Where does our love come from? It comes from a God who is faithful. And it comes from a God who is magnified. Huge. God is huge. And because of that magnitude, some people fear him. But actually, he's just my father. I don't fear him. I'm in awe of him. I respect him. I love him. I want to spend time with him. I'm proud. You know when you see the kid with his big, muscly dad, and you can think, yeah, he's mine. Other people are really afraid. Don't be afraid of him. It's my father. The one who quietens me with his love. The one who upholds me with his mighty right hand. The one who comforts me with his spirit. The one who is magnified. A beautiful verse I want you to learn comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. See, in this verse, you have the fear and the love at the same time. What does God want from you, Israel? Nothing. Be in awe of him, understand who he is, but also love him for who he is. Understand his character, and understand that the power of that character is to your benefit. That is your strength. If our God wasn't awesome, we would worship a weak God. If our God wasn't powerful, we would be weak. Because we're told that our power comes from him. But to do that, we must walk in his ways and love him. Walking in his ways and loving him must go together. They're synonymous. You can't love God without walking in his ways. And you won't really walk in his ways without loving him. That's where you sort of walk in his ways out of fear, but not out of love. So when you love the Lord and you walk in his ways, that's when you get the full effect of that relationship. That's when you understand what it means to be in awe of God. That's when you understand what it means to have peace in him. Because he is the mighty creator. He is the loving savior. And he is the father who quietens us with his love. And glory be to God forever. Amen. We take a moment to reflect on that, please.